standing on the promise. Storms of doubt and fears assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternal by His love strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God.
Thanks, brother.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. You want to do one more? Okay, yeah, well, we got one more request. Page 65. Very good, Dorothy. By request. And that's a great request. Good song. Yeah. Yeah.
His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You want to sing that one more time? Yeah, let's sing it again.
Yeah. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
All right. Good, good, good song.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, go ahead. You need this? Just, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to open up some prayer here today. Do we have any prayer requests? I know it's hard to look at me with a minion on my shirt here, but...
My feet hurt.
Your feet hurt.
You want to rub them?
No.
You know, last week they washed the feet in the kids' class.
Oh, that's cool.
So, we could do that.
No, that's okay. I don't want to touch my
feet. Thank you.
All right.
No, that's a different kind of walking.
I do.
If someone would be touching someone else, I would laugh.
I do have a prayer request. I guess you would count him probably as my stepdad. It's ever since I was growing up. His name is Brian. He has Lyme's disease, and he took the 10-day medication, and apparently it wasn't good enough. So he has to go see a specialized doctor tomorrow, and it's affecting his memory as well as like his joints. I mean, I guess it's really, really bad, and I'm not really sure what they're going to do with him or what's going to come out of that. So just pray for him. Because I talked to him before, and he said, yes, I know Christ is Savior, but his life really hasn't shown it. So I don't, and I don't really know. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah, Albert. Albert's dad passed away. Albert Petroff's dad, the owner of A1 Auto Body. He's been a friend for years. His dad had passed away. He had Alzheimer's and some bad things, and they were devout Catholics, and Albert had some assurance of his salvation. So his dad was saved, praise the Lord for that. A lot of his family are devout Catholics, so when you got Catholicism and Christ, you got a balance there that just doesn't even out. So Christ has to win out on that one. Let's pray for that. And anyone else? Unspoken? How's he doing?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll definitely pray for him. Yeah, any Catholic you're going to meet, they're all going to talk, and they may give you some conflicting information, but you'll know just by talking with them in the first 10 minutes. I mean, if you ask them a few questions, about Christ, who they put their trust in, if they remember a time of accepting Christ as Savior, and it's not, you got to talk to them and say, we got confirmation, and then we got knowing Jesus Christ. Confirmation is not the same thing. So you just, Jim Smith, he's has cancer, and he needs some prayer because his family are also devout Catholics. Anyone else?
Pray for the lost and pray for one more of
them. Yeah. When you have them rough days, you're like, Lord, come now. You are a liar, bro.
What's to be left about? Now I'm saving you ahead. I think that's a blessing.
No way, man. My wife's awesome. I love my wife. That's on record right there. It's on record. No. No, it's just the other day I had one of those days. You're just like, you sit back and you're just like, Lord, that's funny, man. You got a sense of humor, because for a minute there, that was getting me down. I was getting ticked off, and then I thought about it for a second. I was like, man, I know that it's God there. He's just like, he got to be trying to make me laugh in a way of, you know, making me cry first, then make me laugh.
Rejoice again, and again I say rejoice. This is the day of the Lord.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, we'll pray for the lost. And then, Stephen, you had something?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, definitely pray for him on that one. So, Lord, neighbors, half of us don't even know our neighbors. So for the fact that you actually know your neighbor, that's a huge plus. So, is anybody else? Micah? Sure? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else there? Okay, we're gonna go ahead and prayer. Steve, you still have some today? No? Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Any volunteers? Going once, twice, three times? All right, it's me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for today. We thank you for Brother Gary coming to lay what you've laid upon his heart. I just pray that you'd help us be able to get what he's putting down, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We just pray, Lord, for Brother Dick. We just pray, Lord, for his job. And we just pray, Lord God, that you'd please help all the lost and the sick to come to know you as Savior, Lord. The people in the hospital, we thank Jim Smith in the hospital, dear God. We just pray that you'd help his family, give them something to know that, you know, there's more to it than just being a Catholic, Lord. And there's more to it. And I just pray, dear God, that you lay that upon their heart, that you put Phyllis in their way, Lord, to tell them about Jesus. And we pray for this man, Anthony. He was in an accident. We just pray help and heal him, Lord God. We pray for Dorothy's unspoken request and the Storts, the next-door neighbors of the Stephen there. We just pray that you'd use him mightily to be a witness to them. We just thank you, Lord, for it. We just pray, dear God, for continued healing of Becky's back there, Lord. Help her, Lord God. And we also just pray, Lord, for all the folks here. If there's anything I've missed, Lord, I just pray for my Brian. We just pray for his Lyme's disease and his doctor's appointment tomorrow. And I just pray for his assurance of salvation, Lord God, that you'd please lay it upon their hearts and give us, Lord, a renewed spirit and a boldness to go out there and to proclaim your name to the people that need to know it and people that we're just afraid to talk to, Lord. I just pray, Lord God, that you give us that extra added gumption there just to get up and go to those people and tell them about you and have that boldness. And we just pray for the service here today. We just say, I give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Brother Smigot.
Yeah, I need to turn the light down just a little bit.
Let's know that.
Check one. Can you hear me now?
Can you guys hear me now? You can hear me all right?
All right, good.
How's everybody doing? How are we?
All right,
good. So I wanted to talk to you guys tonight. I like to try to build on things that I've talked about in the past. That way it kind of lays more of a foundation. And that way it can build on what I talked about before. And what I talked about last time I was here, if you remember, I was talking about identity and how it's so important for us to understand who we are in Christ. Because it gives you that solid confidence, and it gives you understanding your identity gives you so many things. And it also keeps you out of a lot of trouble as well. Whenever you realize and come to grips with the fact that we are righteous, holy saints of the Most High, It really changes your mind when you're faced with temptation. It's like, is this temptation, does this really line up with who I am? Who the Word of, who God says I am? You know what I mean? As His child. So as you learn and grow in your understanding of your identity, it keeps you, like 2 Peter talks about, we're going to go there, 2 Peter 1. It talks about how we can escape the corruption that's in the world through the divine nature in these precious promises of Christ, everything we have in Him. And I ran out of ink with my printer, so I have to use my phone. So I'm not texting while I'm preaching. I'm reading. I took notes on my phone, so that way you guys know that. It's kind of funny. Anyway, if you want to turn with me to 2 Peter 1. Yeah, that's in the New Covenant. It's right before Revelation. Yeah. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and pray and open us up in a word of prayer. Father God, thank You so much for who You are and for what You have done. And I just thank You so much for this evening, Lord, in order just a fresh new opportunity to learn about Your grace, to learn about who You are, and let that grace teach us, change us, and conform us into Your image. And we could never do that on our own. It's only by Your grace that teaches us. Under the law, it's conditional, it's all self-focused. Under the new covenant, under grace, it's all Christ-centered and Christ-focused. And as we focus all of our attention solely on Him and everything He is and everything He's done, it's how we're changed into Your image, and we thank You for that. So minister to our hearts on these things, and just teach us more about Your amazing love and your endless grace. And we thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. But yeah, okay, 2 Peter 1. We're going to just look at verse 4. Okay, well, we'll start in verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. Okay, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So you're seeing here that we have these great and precious promises in the Word of God, all these great and amazing promises. And it's through these promises, it makes us a promise, with these promises, that we can be a partaker of His divine nature. And as we're a partaker of His divine nature, that's how we escape the corruption that's in the world. And I wanted to look at this a little bit deeper, because as we understand more and more of who we are in Him, and in Colossians 3, verse 4, it says, Christ who is our life. Like, Christ is our life. Everything that's His, we're co-heirs with Him. Everything that's His is ours. Like, as we come to grips with that and learn more and more of our identity that we have in Him, we become, like I said, more and more like Him, partaking of His divine nature. And as we take on His divine nature, we're going to get into that, it helps us, it causes us to escape the corruption that's in the world. Because when you're acting, when you're Christ-like, when you're operating in His divine nature, you're very easily able to overcome the temptations of the world, because we're taking on Christ's nature. And what I wanted to look at is, now here's an interesting thought I wanted to share with you guys. I've been chewing on it all week, and the Lord's been really blessing me with this thought, that we all have spiritual needs, right? They're not spiritual wants, they're needs. We have a need to experience mercy. That's part of God's nature. We have a spiritual need to experience forgiveness. That's a part of God's nature. We have a spiritual need inside of us to experience acceptance. That's a need. It's not a want. You don't want to be accepted. You need to feel accepted. Christ is our acceptance. He made us acceptable. You know, and I mean, there's so many of them. I have a whole list of them that I was going through this whole week. But we have a need to experience kindness. Like, would somebody just be kind to me? Christ will fill that spiritual need to experience kindness. Hope. We have a spiritual need in us to experience hope. Christ is our hope. You know, He is our only hope of glory. Christ is our hope. We need the spiritual need to experience goodness.
Christ is our goodness. We have a spiritual need to experience comfort, and Christ is our comfort. Like it says in Romans 12 or 15, it says that God, the God of all comfort. We have a spiritual need to experience comfort. It's a spiritual need, and Christ is our comfort. So as we grow in the knowledge of these things that we need, we see that we need them, we start seeing that this is everything Christ is, which really is amazing to me, because His character is what we need. Like His character, everything about His character are the spiritual needs that we have inside. And He meets all these needs. Like it even says, He gave us everything that we need for life and for godliness. He gave us everything we need for physical life. I mean, we've ate today, I'm sure. We've had food. You know, He provides everything we need for life. And also He provided everything we need for godliness. And what's this? What is this? It's through these promises. That's this godliness that we're talking about here. He gave us everything we need for godliness is our new identity. It's our spiritual needs being met. It's that experiencing His mercy, because He is the God of mercy, that then makes us merciful. You know what I mean? So it's a beautiful thing. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. Like with forgiveness. Good, bro. You had a thought?
All those spiritual needs, we try to find those in human relationships.
Yeah.
And then you can't find them.
No.
Yeah.
Them. Yep.
And that's what comes through Christ.
Yeah.
And we need that.
Amen. That's right, yeah. Yep. And the reason why the world's in the shape that it's in, and why people are running after this and that in the world, is because they're trying to fill these needs. They're trying to fulfill this need. Will somebody please just accept me? Well, the people down at the bar will. They'll accept me because, you know, we drink together. Or, you know, the people down, whatever. You can be in some kind of club because you're looking for acceptance. The Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, the, you know, I don't know, whatever, a fraternity or a sorority or something. You know, you're in that. Because you want acceptance. That's a spiritual need. It's a spiritual need. It's not a want, again. It's a need. You need to experience acceptance. That's why people do what they do, for acceptance. Will somebody please just accept me? Just because I breathe, like I was talking with Dorothy, I said, Dorothy, you're a blessing. And she said, why? I said, because you breathe. because you exist, you know, you're a blessing, you know. And it's just interesting to consider that we have these needs, and Christ, again, until you find your need met in Him, you will be looking. You will be looking for acceptance. And you'll find it to a degree in the world if you don't experience it in Christ.
Until you mess up,
yeah. But so the thing is, we've got to come to grips with these needs, that Christ is the fulfillment of them. You know, He is our fulfillment for acceptance. If you're ever wondering of God's acceptance, I mean, how much farther do we have to look than the cross and through the resurrection for us to see the demonstration of His love and acceptance? You know what I mean? So if you ever wonder, does God love me or does He accept me? Just look at what He did. Just remind yourself of what He did for you at the cross and through the resurrection. That He loves you and accepts you this much. It's kind of hard to argue with Him. You know, saying, Lord, no, you don't accept me. Son, I do accept you. I'm demonstrating my love for you by dying for you. I accept you.
Mm-hmm. It's so much deeper than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. 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 It's excruciating. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. And that's the whole thing, too, is that we, you know, we I know we understand this, but he was, he was fully God, and he was fully man. And yeah, he experienced every single thing that, we've experienced. And because he's God, because he was God, Jesus Christ is God, and because he's God, what he did for us on the cross, like you said, doesn't just end with, well, I'm forgiven. It ends with, you're reconciled. You have been justified. You have been perfected. You have been, like, everything, there is so much that happened in this death and resurrection that a lot of times we don't consider. But, and one main reason why he went to the cross, and this is a, this passage here, I've read it probably, I don't know, 7,000 times maybe. This is 7,001 right now. It says, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So there again is another spiritual need. We have a spiritual need for righteousness. That it's not an outward righteousness. It's a spiritual need to be right, to have righteousness. And what is this righteousness that we're talking about spiritually? It's a right standing with God. It's you're in right standing with your Heavenly Father. And that is a spiritual need. And what it says, he made him who knew no sin that we might be made his righteousness. You know what I mean? So there's another spiritual need that's met, and that is he gives us his righteousness. And therefore we can have that intimacy with your Heavenly Father, because a lot of people don't have this intimacy with their Father because they don't understand that all their spiritual needs are only met in him. So whenever you come to grips with that, like I said, you have this intimacy with your Heavenly Father when you realize that he is your all in all. He is your absolute and total satisfaction. And that kind of brings me back to the Peter passage where it says that we can escape the corruption that's in the world. Kind of back to what you were saying, Brother Steffi, with you're going to be looking for these needs to be met. But whenever you get these needs met in you, there is really no desire for anything else once these needs are met. The need to experience mercy, the need to experience kindness and goodness, patience. Somebody please just be patient with me. Will somebody please just be patient with me? That's your Heavenly Father. He's patient with you. This is just who he is. You know what I mean? Will somebody please just be merciful to me? Because right now, Lord, I really need somebody just to experience mercy toward me. I need to experience mercy from someone. And Christ is the one who gives us that, the fulfillment of that spiritual need to experience mercy. Yeah, and so therefore, as we're experiencing these needs being met, it really helps us to escape the corruption that's in the world. Because once you get these needs met, talk about satisfied, peace, joy. You know what I mean? You have joy and peace, all the fruits of the Spirit, which also are spiritual needs that we have. So we can experience the satisfaction in Christ, spiritually satisfied. And once you're spiritually satisfied, everything else really does look dull. Everything, you know what I mean? The world grows strangely dim, like that one song. Whenever you're spiritually satisfied in Christ, everything else looks, it pales in comparison. Yeah.
They're angry at something. They're angry at God.
They're
angry at God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings me back to this divine nature that we're talking about. Whenever we have these spiritual needs met, that's how we're able to partake of His divine nature. Because when we realize that Christ is merciful to me, and He's feeling that spiritual need to experience mercy, then I can share that mercy with somebody else. That's a part of His divine nature just working through me, that I can be merciful to you, Phyllis. I can be merciful to you, you know, or whoever. You know, you can be merciful to one another, you know, because God is merciful to you. And that need, and that can only happen when that need's met, though. You know what I mean? Because we can not be merciful sometimes toward other people whenever that need for mercy isn't met, you know. But whenever Christ fills that need, that spiritual need for mercy, then we can share that mercy with other people. The same thing in the biggest ones is love and acceptance. Those are the biggest ones. Like whenever we have that need to experience love, will somebody just love me just because I breathe, just because I exist? Will somebody just love me? Christ is the only one that can fill that need. So whenever you let Him fill that need, and it's by faith that we allow Him, we experience His love, we experience His mercy, we experience His goodness, His kindness, it's all by faith. And as we're walking by faith, we're getting these needs met, and then we're loving people the same way, like Christ even said, love as I have loved you. You know, we're now just like channels of the life of Christ working in us, filling this need, and then that need being shared with the world. It's kind of like fruit. It's the same thing. Love, joy, peace, patience. If you think about fruit, fruit is the tree that bears the fruit doesn't use the fruit. It benefits from it, I guess. You know, maybe it could use it as fertilizer as it dies on the ground. But you know what I mean? Like, the fruit isn't made for the tree. Like, the fruit, like in our spiritual lives, the spiritual fruit we have, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, these are fruits that we share with other people. You know what I mean? We have mercy. We have fruit of patience, and we share that patience with one another as we're having that need met of experiencing patience. So we're experiencing patience, and man, it's so easy to experience patience toward one another, to offer patience toward one another whenever you realize how patient God is with you, fulfilling that need. So you can be satisfied in your spiritual life through Christ and Christ alone, and then that satisfaction is spilled out into other people's lives. And that's the beauty of the divine nature. You know what I mean? So as we're experiencing these needs, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I was just, the world changes often. The only constant is the world has.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Be up one day,
down. Mm-hmm.
But in Christ, He is our constant.
Yeah.
His promise will never be
there. Yeah, remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah. 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 And that's another beauty of it is, again, with what you're saying. Whenever these needs are met, it doesn't change. Like, God doesn't change. That need can always be met. You know, because He's not ever going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to be merciful with you today. You know what I mean? Or, I'm not going to be patient with you today. I'm not going to be kind. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? That's just who He is. He can't escape His character. He loves you, and He's always going to love you. He is, you know, He's always going to be merciful with you. He's always going to be patient with you, because this is just who He is. This is our God. This is our Creator. He's defined as, in 1 John 4:16, 4:10 as well, it says, God is love. You know what I mean? So this defines who God is. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient. He's good. He's gracious. You know, so therefore, that'll never change, because that's just who He is. So we can always experience patience, always experience mercy, always experience joy, fruits of the Spirit, love, acceptance.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Huh? All right, yeah. Go, man. Yeah, so a big one that we need to, let's talk about, is a spiritual need of experiencing forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a big one. That, you know, and let's go to, you guys want to flip with me to Colossians? We're going to go to chapter 3. Colossians 3. So we're talking about this spiritual need of experiencing forgiveness. We've got to have that need met, or else we're going to be looking for forgiveness all kinds of ways. And until that need is met, you're never going to be able to rest
rest from trying to obtain forgiveness, or your, or what would you say? Yeah. Guilt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that spiritual need for forgiveness isn't met, you're going to be living with guilt. And don't throw rocks. It sounds weird when I first say it, but for a Christian, there is absolutely no room for guilt before God, because your God became a man that went to a cross to take away your sins, to fulfill the law completely. And the only thing that can make you feel guilty is if there's an accusation against you, and that would be the law. So there's no room for guilt before God. Now if I hurt somebody else, I should feel guilty before somebody else. If I hurt Scott, I'm going to feel guilty, and I should go straighten that out with my brother Scott. But as far as guilt goes with me and God, there is no place for guilt. Okay, so Colossians 3 then. Let's look here at, I just want to jump right into it in verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Okay. Well, let's start in verse 11. Well, I mean, we could read the whole chapter, really. This is a great passage. But okay, Colossians 3:11. Okay, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but here you go, but Christ is all and in all. Okay, now, he says right here, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So there's another part of our identity right there. He's saying, now that put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. This is part of our identity, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. Oh, here we go. Here's what we're talking about. Put on therefore bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. See these spiritual needs here? He's telling us to put these on. The bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And this is where I'm going with this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, that's in the past tense, forgave you, so also do ye. So our motivation for forgiving one another is experiencing His forgiveness for us. And whenever that spiritual need for forgiveness is met, that is how you're able to pass on forgiveness to other people. So whenever you get that need so met, people can really hurt you, but forgiveness is already there. Forgiveness is already there between brothers and sisters in Christ. That forgiveness should already be there, because you have got that need met for forgiveness. Now, if you don't have that spiritual need met of forgiveness, then it's very difficult to express that kind of forgiveness to other people if you're not experiencing it yourself. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Again, with that scripture, I'm not going to take that, screw it up. You're saying, have been forgiven. Christ has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
After I ask Him.
Right. Okay.
Based on their confessing that they need forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive me, God.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so on that then, if your understanding of forgiveness is you have to beg and plead for it all the time, that is the same way you're going to demand it from your brother. You know what I mean? If you have to beg God for forgiveness all the time, if you think that's what's getting you forgiven, then you're going to demand that from your brother whenever you get hurt. You know what I mean? You're going to demand that. But whenever you come to grips with, you already are forgiven, completely forgiven, from the beginning of your life to the end of it, then forgiveness toward your brother is not, it's not demanded that you ask me for forgiveness. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go to your brother and you know, beg them to... Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. He initiated it. He initiated forgiveness. So, okay, if there's a question then on that, let's go flip back to chapter 2 then. Because this here will help clear that up. 2:13. It says right here, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him. Now read this. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, it was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So if you're ever wondering,
if you're forgiven. I mean, this passage here, if this was the only passage on the whole new covenant that dealt with forgiveness, this here would do it for me, where it says, having forgiven you all trespasses. And I looked it up. If you look up this word all in the Greek, it still means all. It means all. This word in the Greek means all. So back to what you were saying, if you have to beg God for forgiveness and you're going to expect that from your brothers, well, this here should blow that idea out of the water, because it says right here, He already has forgiven you all trespasses. And you come to grips with that, let that spiritual need be met, and then you can be a partaker of His divine nature, because this is just a part of His nature. Now you can share that forgiveness with other people. And I'll tell you what, whenever you're expressing forgiveness toward one another as brothers and sisters, even lost people, whoever, the world, as you're expressing forgiveness toward people, boy, does it make life easy. Enjoyable. You know what I mean? It makes it like there's no tension. Because whenever there's no forgiveness expressed, then there's always roots that end up sprouting up, and that's bitterness, anger, fear, just all kinds of things happen whenever forgiveness isn't executed toward one another. So that's why, again, it's so important for us to come to grips with the fact this spiritual need for forgiveness is met. Christ is our forgiveness. And we'll look at a couple more passages just to elaborate on that. Yeah. Let's look at that one. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, let's start in verse 13. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So right there, it says we have redemption and we also have forgiveness. So it's all throughout the thread of the finality of forgiveness is all throughout the Scriptures. It's everywhere. So we have redemption, we have forgiveness. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
On his mind,
yep. Says,
that's
right. Yep. Yep.
I'm not
amen, brother. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, you may want to do that too.
Right.
Know, but we have gifts.
Right.
Even
yeah. Phyllis. Hold on. Yeah. Good. Phyllis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. That's a good question. This is a great question. Right. Right. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. What do we do? That's a great question. Let's talk about that. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We always have the opportunity to exercise faith, because faith apprehends this forgiveness. Okay. Say you do break. Like you were saying, you go against the Scriptures and you give into a fault, as the New Covenant calls it in Galatians, it's faults. Okay, so we have faults, and whenever that happens, we need to, at that moment, exercise faith. And then faith says, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. That's our first confession of because it's truth. You are forgiven, right? So you confess truth, and that is, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. That is truth. So you are agreeing with God that sin is forgiven. That is your confession. You thank Him that sin is forgiven. And then you do like it says in Galatians. It says, walk in the Spirit, and then it says you won't be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So we need to talk about how do you walk in the Spirit. And how do you overcome this, the battle of the flesh and spirit? And do you... Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he's saying in Hebrews, that you go to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in the time of need.
Yeah.
And that's when I get up, because we're all screwed
up. Yeah. 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 And then also. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's a sermon all in itself. I'd like to elaborate on that sometime. Yeah. 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 Well. Yeah. One big problem I have with that is if that's your mindset of asking for forgiveness and begging for forgiveness all the time, Hebrews 9:22 makes a very strong statement that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The only way that you can be forgiven, if genuinely inside your heart you don't believe you are forgiven, because if you're asking for forgiveness, you're saying you don't believe you are. So if you're saying I need forgiveness for that, then what you're asking God to do is come back to the earth, die on a cruel cross, and shed His blood again, because that is the only way that the forgiveness can be executed. That's why faith is what we function in. We function by faith. And faith is, I recognize, I thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven for that. And I recognize that it is wrong, and Lord, I'm looking to you for mercy and grace to help me to change my heart. Because it's a heart, whatever it is, it's a heart issue that you're dealing with. So you look to God to change your heart on this issue, or whatever it is, in the flesh. So, and that's where, again, like Brother Steffi was saying, you come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. And when do you need mercy and grace to help you? All the time. Yeah, absolutely. So you thank Him for that. You thank Him for that forgiveness. And begging Him for forgiveness is like saying, get back on the cross and die for me again. If you're begging God for forgiveness, that's what you're saying. Die again. And I'm not about to do that. That's one of the most... It almost makes me cry sometimes when I think about it, because I hear some people always begging God for forgiveness, and it's like taking a knife and stabbing me in the chest and twisting it, because that's what you're saying you want God to do for you again, is to die for you again. And I'm not about to put my Savior through that death again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Or they've been taught too the other way as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. 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 Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And what he wants to do is fulfill that need so that way you can escape that sin. You can escape it through his divine nature. And that'll happen as you walk by faith. It'll change. The grace will teach you. Yeah.
Yeah, when you go to the throne of grace,
yeah. That's it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Life,
yep. Yeah.
That grace changed.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I was just going to go there, actually. I was going to go to Titus. No, that's all right. No, it's good. Titus 2:11 is exactly what Brother Steffi was talking about. Let's go there. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Because this is getting back to answering your question, Phyllis, with what do you do? Like, how do we change? How do we experience victory? And in Titus 2:11, okay, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So again, in verse 11, it says that it is the grace of God that brings salvation. That is what, in verse 12, teaches us to deny ungodliness. It is, again, coming back to our identity, who we are in Christ. It's realizing everything we have, all these great and precious promises that we have in Christ, this is how the grace teaches you. By you recognizing all these great and precious promises that we have in Christ, again, filling those spiritual needs for mercy, acceptance, love, kindness. As you allow these needs to be met and you experience it by faith, then this is the grace of God that's going to teach you. Because like I said, whenever you're faced with a temptation, it's like, wait a second, I am a righteous, holy saint of the Most High. You know what I mean? I am clothed in the very righteousness of God Himself. You know what I mean? Like things like that. Like, I have been bought with the blood of Christ. I have been totally forgiven and redeemed. I am an eternal, saved saint, a child of God. I could be here all day now talking about these things, but like as we walk by faith in them, we're faced with things. That is what will change your mind at that moment. What, repent? Like, you want to use that word, change your mind? It helps you change your mind from this fault, this issue. It helps you change your mind from it and then have victory over it by realizing your identity. Because it's the grace of God, then in that case, then, that teaches you to deny it, you know. Amen, brother. Yeah. So does that help answer some of your question? Is there any other thoughts to add to that? I was specifically asking you if you had any other thoughts. Okay, no problem. I just want to make sure it's thorough. I want to be thorough enough with you. But it is that grace that will teach you, and it works. I mean, it's gotten me out of so much garbage that I could be in. You know what I mean? Like, I could be involved in that, but like I said, whenever I'm faced with that, I'm like, it just doesn't line up with who I am. It just doesn't make sense for me to do that, because I know who I am. You know what I mean? And it's by faith we apprehend these promises. It's by faith. It's by faith that we're, you know, justified. It's by faith. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. 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 Sure. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah, we do. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Yep. Yep. So our job is to, let's talk about that for a minute. Am I going over? It's already 8-something. Is that too long? Because I want to talk about how to walk in the Spirit real quick. We got time? I don't know. I don't know what time you guys normally leave. Let's go to, okay, 5 minutes. Okay, let's go to, we leave it normally done at 8? Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3 then real quick. Okay, Ephesians 3. This is going to help us understand. Now, how do we, again, have victory over this? What we're talking about, Phyllis. This is going to be good. Okay, Ephesians 3. We're going to start in verse 16. I'll exercise the spiritual gift of patience. I'll wait till you get there. Okay. Okay, Ephesians 3, 16. Okay, well, 14. Okay, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Okay? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we're filled with all the fullness of God by knowing the height and depth and width and breadth of his love. If you want to walk in the Spirit, it is by knowing the height and depth and breadth and width of his love for you. You keep your mind focused on the love of Christ. And if you ever need to get another example of it, just remind yourself, like, look at the cross and recognize, look at the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ. What's that make? The height and depth and width and breadth? The cross. So if you ever need a revelation of the love of Christ, it's look at the height, the depth, and width and breadth of his love that he demonstrated on the cross. And then it's that love that your mind is fixed on this love. That is that love then that it says, you know this love. If you know this love, it says you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. So if we're filled with all of his fullness, we're surely going to be, as it says in Ephesians 5, filled with his Spirit. So if you're filled with the knowledge of his love, you're filled with the fullness of God, you're filled with the Spirit of God, and then it is that then that will teach you to have power. It'll give you power over these issues that we deal with, the struggles that we have. It's knowing the height and depth and width and breadth of his love that fills you with his Spirit, that teaches you and leads you and guides you. Because like you're always wondering, oh, what would love do? You know, like what would love do in this situation? Like, you know what I mean? So you keep your mind focused on the love of Christ, and that is what will teach you and give you victory over. Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't get a chance to get through all my stuff, but that's okay. I mean, this is still good. This is really... Yeah, I'll stop back. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, I hope that helps. And I like to, as you guys may already... See, I like to teach things that are practical and applicable, something you can take home and use. So my application for this evening would be, allow Christ, who is everything, fulfill every spiritual need inside that you have. A need for mercy, a need for love, a need for acceptance, a need for forgiveness, a need for long-suffering, kindness. Let him fill these needs for you, and then you'll be satisfied in him. And then let that divine nature come out then. Let that mercy and love and grace be exercised toward one another. And it's a beautiful way to live. And can I get an amen on that? All right. Okay, I'll go pray and then we'll end there. Father God, thank you so much again for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Thank you, Father, for filling every deep spiritual longing that we have inside. And you fill it because this is who you are, and we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you so much that we can have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with you. And as we think about your love, the height and depth and width and breadth of it, we just fall more and more in love with you because you first loved us. And so encourage us in an understanding of your love. Teach us more about your love, and let that love ultimately consume us, control us, and constrain us. And we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for that.
We just want to thank you for all these things and praise you for them all. In Jesus Christ, our great and awesome Savior's holy name. Amen. All right.